What are you doing there? What? Oh, shit, we're already on. Good morning, everybody. It is Wednesday. What is it? The 8th of January. I don't know. I must have decided somewhere in the last 2 days I'm not taking anything seriously this year because I'm having way more fun and it's only like first week in. This is exciting. Mm. Look who's here as well. It's Jack Mutlante. We haven't seen
Good morning.
Haven't seen this mofo in some time.
What's happening? What's happening?
You good?
I am fantastic. How are you?
I couldn't be better. Justin Trudeau is out as Prime Minister of Canada.
Amen. Isn't that just,
I mean, what a soy boy, beta male, floppy head, soft dicked, pudgy.
Get him.
Useless leftist cretin, and combine that, all the things I've just said, paradoxically, combine it with a real authoritarian who wants to control everybody. Remember, this is the guy who said, we're going to arrest Canadian truck drivers because they didn't like the very, very, very harsh restrictions they were putting on those people.
Yeah.
During a protest, which was perfectly legal in a democratic, open society. Also, this was the guy who was like enforcing the strictest, some of the strictest lockdown rules in the world. I thought about it this morning while I was taking a pee and I was so excited. I know that's when I do most of my thinking. I was so excited. I mean, that fucking horse toothed Jacinda Ardern gone. Okay. Now Justin Trudeau gone. Joe Biden, Kamala Harris gone. Macron is on his way out. Keir Starmer's in, but he's not going to be in for long.
Clearly not, yeah.
It's just great. And you know what? If I were one of those leftists, like most of the people in South African journalism, and like most of the losers on social media fact checker boards, I would be shitting bricks right now because the world has just become a very, very horrible place for them. They thought they had total control, these people. And by the way, I love that Mark Zuckerberg, who's also always the slowest one to fucking figure things out, right?
Yeah.
This is the guy who copies everyone else's notes in class. All his ideas came from other people. Every single idea Mark Zuckerberg has ever had comes from someone else, and now he's going to, at least this time he's copying a good idea, he's going to take away the fact checkers, who were basically just, you know, bunches of woke leftists who were telling everyone else what to do.
Facebook police.
They were the experts, the Facebook police,
they
right?
They were the Facebook police.
And now these guys are they're also going to be out of a job. Good.
It's good. I think it's about time that we clear out all the rubbish. It was 2024 served as a watershed moment. Like all the bullshit to the left, all the people that can think to the right. So
right.
We've just split it. It's like There's a river that's running through existence right now, and all the people that have got sense are on one side of it, and the other people that don't are on the other side of it.
I love it.
I wish I could pull a few of them into that river and watch them drown.
That'd well, I, you know, I've got a little. It's a series of photographs of like the G20 from 4 years ago.
Yeah, yeah.
And I'm just crossing them off as they get taken out. Right. I'm actually just taking a big cokey pen.
Yeah.
You know, like how you. When you play darts, you put the big X's where you get the numbers that you want.
I'm
putting the X's onto all of these people's faces, and it feels so good.
Right.
Do you know that Justin ordered the banks to unbank the protesting truckers, says Bitcoin, but they turned to Bitcoin. Checkmate, Justin. Well, good for them, because then they've made an absolute fortune since then. I love the way that these guys are so amateurish at being authoritarians. They can't even do that properly.
Yeah.
Like everything these guys have touched in the last, and let's take stock for a second. This all started probably around 2014, somewhere around this like extreme leftist crap that we've been seeing everywhere. All the gender stuff, all the race stuff, all the woke stuff. It all started around 2014. And for the longest time, I was like, this is looking bad. I'm depressed about it.
Yeah.
I mean, as much as I could ever be depressed. But it bothered me for a long time. And now I see the pendulum is swinging the opposite way. And I'm like, yes.
The thing is, there was a overcorrection at some point. Like before 2014, there was a lot of hard-nosed, you know, this is how we're going to do things. And there wasn't a lot of Because, I mean, people that are typically right-leaning are a bit more conservative and they don't want to change.
They mostly shut up. They mostly behave themselves.
But they can be a bit stuck in their ways and we don't evolve that way. You're right. And the overcorrection showed up when the left started losing their minds. But now, as you said,
and they really did.
Is just coming back to where it's supposed to be.
Well, Patrick says quite rightly, 2014-15 was when Rhodes Must Fall happened, among other things. Yeah. That was a very clear canary in the coal mine. Because I remember and I interviewed Dlamini, the guy who was like the leader of that movement.
Yeah, yeah.
And he even had his regrets, like what, 3-4 years later, he was, shouldn't have done that. Mm. But I didn't realize it would all come to such a crashing, disastrous halt for people who believe in that crap. So it's great. I mean, you are waking up in one of the best Januaries it is possible to wake up in. Also, I mean, I mentioned this on Monday. It was nice to see over the holidays that although there were people trying to do what happens in South Africa every January, trying to stoke up like race hatred and
and
rich versus poor, and this one got murdered and that one has been called a baboon, and this one, it didn't work. Mm. Like most South Africans just went, oh, for God's sake. Right?
Yeah. I think people are just wising up to all of this nonsense that is thrown in our direction, trying, like, more often than not, it's just a distraction tactic.
My stop nonsense campaign was a little bit too early. As usual, most of the things I do, I'm like, oh,
you're a bit too ahead too of the early. Curve.
Yeah. If I'd waited curve. Until now, stop nonsense would be like the timing would have been perfect.
Mm, mm, mm.
So let's just see here quickly. Unfortunately, South Africa did not get that memo. Still the same rubbish and power everywhere, says Mo Rabbit. Yeah, but you know what? You mustn't forget that the ANC is not like the majority party in South Africa anymore. That is a very big deal.
We haven't
been able to say that for 30 years. Yep. There's been one party that has had the ability to say, we represent most South Africans, a plurality, right?
Mm-hmm.
If not a majority. No, they can't say that anymore.
I don't think there were any people that thought that would be a genuine thing. Like, I don't imagine happening.
This is less than a year ago.
Yeah.
I remember us sitting here talking about it. I don't think you can come back from that easily.
No, you don't. In fact, I'm willing to wager that the ANC will never get above 40%. Well, at least not in my lifetime.
Yeah. And did you see this? Bitcoin Boot makes response to this worthy of a discussion, rather. The ANC were chased out of that guy's house.
Yes.
Where they went the other day.
I actually wanted to bring that up.
Right?
Oh,
I think this is so great. Like, people have also grown their spine back. They've realized, like, actually, if all of us don't pay any attention to this cancel bullshit, mm-hmm. which we've been fighting slowly. I've been fighting it for a long time.
Yeah.
You have to stand up. You don't apologize. You don't take their shit. And you just move on. Like, whatever anyone calls you online, so what? And even ordinary citizens like this dude who chased them out of his house, he's realized, like, actually, there is no reason I have to be afraid.
At all.
There's nothing these people can do to you. They used to be able to. They used to be able to scare us and cajole us and frighten us and pressure us into, you have to have the accepted opinion. It's not the case anymore. Mm-mm. So do whatever you want. And if they call you names, call them names right back. I saw Elon have a go at some UK politician yesterday. You know, there's this massive controversy going on there at the moment about these grooming gangs, which are basically like they're child rape rings. That's what they are.
Repulsive.
It is repulsive. And it's just amazing to me that the British people, and particularly the ones in communications and in government, will do handstands, somersaults, and contortions of every kind to not say what's really happening.
Mm.
You know, the British have been good at lots of things over the course of the last 1,000 years. And there are many things that Britain should be applauded for. Many. You know, rule of law, the parliament system, free speech, John Stuart Mill, all that stuff. The British have given humanity enormous gifts. But honestly, since World War II, with the possible exception of Margaret Thatcher, it's been a steady decline and Great Britain's become Little Britain in no small way, right? So when I see what's going on there. It drives me absolutely mad. And clearly I'm not the only one. I mean, Elon even felt that he had to bring up the story about his grandmother who survived the Blitz and, you know, who was a British woman, obviously, because people were criticizing him. Like, who are you to have a say about what's going on in Britain?
Right.
Like you're not allowed to say something or I'm not allowed to say something. It doesn't matter whether you have a link to the place or not. If you see madness and stupidity going on, if you see the Taliban,
you should be allowed to call it out.
The Taliban the other day said they want to take windows out of houses because they don't want women looking through windows because men might get aroused. Now, I'm not in Afghanistan. I have nothing to do with Afghanistan. Afghanistan is probably the only place in the world that I know for a fact I'm unlikely to visit for any good reason, right?
Yeah.
I don't care about the people there. I don't care what happens there. But I'm allowed to talk about how stupid it is that the Taliban want to remove windows so that women can't see out of them in case men get a hard on. I mean,
so silly,
right? Like, so anyway,
what's even? I wanted to ask what was the thought process, but there clearly was no thought.
Please, these are religious fanatics. No,
just
so Elon has been going on about this very, very frightening and, as you said, repulsive situation in Britain, which anyone's allowed to do. He's a free citizen of the world. And he also happens to own and has opened up one of the most powerful free speech platforms that there are.
Yeah.
And what is the response? Not to say, yeah, well, you know, we actually should sort that out here in Britain. The response is, how dare you notice that terrible things are happening here? How dare you bring other people's attention to terrible things that are happening here? Why don't you just shut up and let our girls be raped by Muslim grooming gangs, Elon? So wow. He basically had a go. And what brought me to this whole conversation is he took on some idiot British politician. But instead of arguing a sensible argument, like, yeah, you know, most of us try to do.
Right.
He was like, oh, shut up, you dickhead, or whatever. Of course. I was like, yes, it's time for some of that. Just some good old schoolyard, shut up, you dickhead.
Yeah.
You know, that's what we want.
It actually makes me think about there's this – I don't know if I heard it as a clip or if I read the thing, but I mean, it basically says good men lead to hard times, good men lead to easy times lead to weak men lead to hard times lead to good men.
And that's right? What's coming now.
So I think
we've now reached the end of the easy times, soft men era. And we're now going back into, unless we can, and these hard times that we've been through and that we're going to go through for a little while yet, it's not all going to suddenly improve.
Definitely.
But it's going to get better because there are suddenly
people, you know, how people are willing to stand up and actually speak sense for once.
Right. And, you know, I've been listening to this. You've been listening to this for years. People saying, oh, there are just no real leaders left.
Yeah.
Now, all the real leaders are gone. Or where are the leaders that we need? Mm. And things like, you are the leader we've been looking for.
Right.
And people driving past billboards like that going, what, me? And now we're going to get real leadership.
Exactly.
There's just no way that you can compare the likes of Kendall Justin Trudeau in Canada to what is about to happen in the United States.
No, you can't.
You got like Bobby Kennedy, Vivek, Tulsi Gabbard. You got, I don't know if you've seen this this White House
press special secretary.
Press secretary, is that her?
The
woman?
So. Yeah. She's so cool. Now.
And she's like, before they've even taken the White House, because it's only meant he's inaugurated on the 20th. So she goes, listen to the press. If you're going to ask stupid things and you're going to do dumb stuff, we're going to ignore you. Because they don't need, like, Donald Trump doesn't need to curry favor with the press anymore. Mm. He's got a majority of votes. He's got the popular vote.
Yeah.
He's got the Congress. He's got the Senate. He's got the White House, the Supreme Court. He must just make shit happen now.
He also if he doesn't, it's on him, right? Which is also great. Listen, which is also amazing.
You mean you didn't change your vote in our election because of Beyonce?
Why would I?
Taylor
Why
Swift?
Would I?
You didn't,
Why would I?
You didn't change your mind because, like, Taylor Swift?
Oh, yes, because I share so much with billionaires, right? Like, their lives are so comparable to mine. Like, they understand my problems.
You and Taylor Swift have got a lot in common.
We've got so much in common. You know what I mean? Like December was great because I, you know, we've got a yacht and, you know.
Yeah, exactly. Stefano says, is there any way to listen without keeping YouTube open? Okay, so.
Pay for YouTube Premium.
No, but I've got some interesting news on that front. We're going to be launching a brand new app, which is just about ready to go. We're just tidying it up now.
Yeah.
We've tested it. It's in all the stores, and we just have to open it up and make it, you know, available. And then, Stefano, you'll be able to listen, and it can run in the background while you're doing other shit, which is just awesome.
True.
So that's coming. But, you know, what makes this show different to every other podcast show and has been our big differentiator for, 10 years, is that we do this show live.
Mm.
And you can interact live. There is no other show that does this in real time. For example, I could say that it is 6:18 in the morning, and it is exactly that. Mm-hmm. And there's no one else who can bring up what's going on. I can hold up a newspaper like those hostages and say, look, it's today's newspaper, and you'll know it's like the real show, right? Yeah. On the real network. So I promise you we're going to solve all of your problems this year. And I don't know if you've noticed, but I do want to give a little bit of credit to these producers of ours, because they've been working very hard. Even during the holidays, they've been making sure that we iron out all the problems. We're getting little things together. The set's probably going to change again, but it's got to work.
Yeah.
And because there's no one we can learn from, there's so much that we're doing here that's like first time it's been done, Unreal Engine, you know, the technology that we're using is very, very new. Then we learn by iterating and changing things. And I don't want to get you too involved in how the show is produced. You don't want to go into the kitchen and see how they make a sausage, because otherwise you won't eat sausages again.
Yeah.
But we're working on all of this stuff, right? So you're going to have a good experience with the show this year, and it's going to be everything that you want. I can promise you that. And we want your feedback too. I don't often say that because, you know, I can be very dismissive and rude and say, what the hell do I need your opinion for? That may happen again. But in the meantime, while I'm in the sort of mood I'm in, send your feedback, because I'm actually very receptive to it right now.
Yeah, the window's closing.
Yeah, at least another day or two. All right? Send that while you can. We'll get cracking. Mo Rabbit says, yes, the app must have a live cockprot function. Well, we're going to have a lot of functions built into that. So just hang tight. But yes, certainly we will cover the bases of what you need right now. And I love that YouTube allows us to do the comments live. We put them up on the screen. It's awesome. Keep bringing that on as well. So Jack McClanty, what's been on your mind? What have you been thinking? How was your holiday? How was your new year?
Oh, man.
All that shit.
So firstly, I love Joburg during December. Because everyone's gone. Like, it's such a dream. I love it. Like, it's almost as if I get to reclaim the city back. It's like, get away.
I drove home yesterday. I was here yesterday afternoon for most of the afternoon. And I drove home at like 5:36-ish.
Right.
And I thought, oh, it's going to be a hellscape.
And you could do more than 80 Ks an hour.
Are you joking? There were hardly any cars on the road. I was so excited.
What a dream.
That kind of thing makes my day.
Yeah, legit. I actually didn't realize how much of a misanthrope I am now. Mm. Like I just I love Joburg when there's not too many people around. So my December was great.
Good.
Partly because of that.
Good.
I also got to do a bit of traveling. I love you. You remember I brought up Bushbuck Ridge last year?
Yes.
I love that place, man.
Mpumalanga.
I went there again. A friend
but
of mine.
Bushbuck Ridge itself is a big mess.
Yes, it is.
Yes,
yes, it is. But you know, for a city boy like myself,
yeah,
seeing that amount of greenery and,
oh yeah,
you know, the fruits.
But I'm not talking about like the actual like dwellings,
yeah.
of Bushbuck Ridge. I mean, it's the ugliest part of Mpumalanga.
yeah.
But the surrounding,
area,
yeah, that's beautiful.
Great.
Yeah,
absolutely amazing. So a friend of mine was, you know, starting the procedures for Lobola and all of that stuff. So we got to celebrate that moment. That was also pretty great. My mom turned 70 this year. Well, last year, excuse me.
Oh, congrats.
Threw her a birthday party. That was a lot of fun.
Very nice.
A lot of fun.
December or January?
December.
Okay. So I feel sorry for people whose birthdays are in December and January.
Why?
I've got one friend, Donna. She lives in Australia now, but her birthday's the 27th of December. And nobody cares.
Yeah.
Well, unfortunately.
Yeah.
You know, first of all, Christmas has just happened. Mm. So even if you're a close friend of hers, you're like, I'm not buying you a birthday.
Yeah.
And the other thing is that during that week between Christmas and New Year, no one looks at their phone. They don't get reminders. They don't think about sending happy birthdays.
No one even cares about the date, to be honest.
No. So they go, it's the 27th. Oh, sorry. So I reckon people like that get more of those, I'm so sorry I missed your birthday.
Yeah, yeah.
Messages.
But luckily for my mom, hers is on the 9th of December. So right at the beginning. Yeah, that's okay.
Fine. That's fine.
My dad's birthday is on the 29th of Jan. So I don't know. Like, it feels as if my parents, their birthdays are just at the right time because you'll still have enough money to celebrate them.
Yeah, right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But what I am excited about this year is, you know, last year kind of revealed a lot of truths to people. I'm interested to see what kind of truths we unearth this year. And
well,
the one story. Yeah.
I got one. You go first.
Cool. So the one story I came across recently is what's happening at Fox Sports. And this lady, she's a, what you call, hairdresser. Oh, mm-hmm. Well, she does their hair. A former Fox Sports hairstylist alleges in a lawsuit that the network executive used his position to sexually harass women. But now there's 14 people. There are 14 counts. And people like Skip Bayless.
All of these guys were abusing this hairdresser.
Like, apparently, Skip Bayless at some point was like, look, I'll give you $1.5 million if you do a couple of sexual favors for me. $1.5 million.
She's like the world's highest paid hooker.
Oh, my goodness.
And like, and can I just point out, did she take the money?
No, she didn't. So, according to
stupid
the lawsuit.
Stupid girl, by the way.
Right?
Let me just put this out there, right? I know I'm past my prime. But if anyone wants to pay me $1.5 million for a night of fun, I'm available.
Yo, like, where do I sign up?
Just tell me what the address is. I'll pay for my own travel and accommodation. Just give me any indication. There's 1.5. Once that gets into my account,
we're nice.
Yeah.
Come to think of it,
we're nice.
Come to think of it, like. It's interesting. When I heard the story, I had the exact same reaction as you. I was like, wait, someone was willing to pay you $1.5 million for sex.
Okay.
The difference, let me ask you this, Gary. The difference between how men and women react to these kind of propositions is very interesting, because if that were to happen to you in a professional setting, I imagine you'd brush that off, right? You'd either, if you were that kind of person, you'd
go
either
for the money.
You'd take the money.
Sure.
Or you'd brush it off. You wouldn't take it personally.
No.
Or, no. You know, go to HR and say this is sexual harassment.
But I understand that. Like, if you're a woman and you are predated upon, and let's just go back to like a time where men actually were protectors of women.
Yes.
Instead of where men were like incels and they were ignoring, you know, shitty things like feminism and trying to get past the idea that they were just toxic masculinity in a package, right? Let's just go back to a time where men did the right thing. Because I think there's some part of all of us that wants to still be that. They want to be the person who can provide safety and security for the women in their life that they care about.
Of
whether
course.
It's, you know, their mom, their sister, their friends, their girlfriend, their wife, whoever it may be. I don't know that anyone wants to be in a work environment, especially a work environment, but any environment really, where a guy is like leaning in really hard.
Sure.
I don't think it should ever be prohibited. Like, I don't, if some guy wants to offer $1.5 million, should be able to make that offer anywhere, anytime, any place. And instead of her getting upset, she should just look at it and go, this is a transaction I'm not interested in, or you got a deal. Okay, so that is not sexual harassment. That is making an offer, and you have the opportunity as a free person to decide yes or no.
Sure.
And obviously, after that offer is made and you decide you don't want it, you have every right to say to the people at the place you work, this guy made me an offer I'm not so happy with. Can I please have a different shift? I don't want to work when he's working. Cool.
Cool.
But we don't have to go to the press. We don't have to embarrass just because he's famous. Like she's try now. She's going to try and extort money out of him, which is what's going on.
On some level,
because
sure.
then what you're doing is instead of taking the best of what should and could happen and what gives you maximum freedom, you're taking no responsibility for yourself in the situation, and you're taking advantage of being a victim and all of that stuff. And we know that's going to lead to what I've always had a big problem with. The minute you trivialize sexual aggression, rape, inappropriate behavior, the minute you make that trivial, like a hairdresser being offered money for sex and she can just turn it down and we can all move on, the minute you make it something trivial, you take real victims, people who are actually being, like these girls in Britain, for example, who've been, it's a nonstop, endless cycle of rape where to the degree that the girls who were raped 10, 15 years ago are now getting their children ready to have the same experience.
Right.
So it's like generational abuse of the worst kind. Mm-hmm. The minute you trivialize rape, you give a pass to the people who are doing the terrible things and you make the stupid things seem terrible. It's not a good idea. We've got to get back to like reality. Actual cost benefit analysis.
That's very true. I there's nothing I would agree with in terms of what you said. I think
nothing
what
you would agree with?
No, nothing at all. There's
you don't
not
agree
a
with any
thing.
Of it.
No, as in I agree with all of it.
Oh well, if I can speak properly.
Excuse me.
Listen what properly.
Well, listen properly this time. Anyway, like I think it is also very interesting. I mean, I asked a couple of people in my life. The difference in how people react to the story was eye-opening to me too. Like, I mean,
and you reckon it was mostly a gender split?
It was legit a gender split because all of the men said the same things. Like, hey man, we nice. Give me that 1.5 and let's do it. Where should we do this? On top of the roof?
Well,
know what I mean. But women, it's a completely different reaction.
Snaye. Woman says, nah, that's disgusting and demeaning to women who aren't interested in that kind of stuff, guys.
Definitely.
It's not demeaning and disgusting for someone to make an offer.
I think it's time and place, Gareth. I mean, I think it's time and place. For argument's sake, if this woman is a hairdresser, right? She's there to style their hair. And
while so good looking for 1.5.
I actually saw a picture of her. She is.
And
She's pretty stunning. So you're there trying
you're
to
gonna,
just do
you don't even
job.
Offer a troll. Just put up a picture of a really ugly. I don't know where you're going to find one at the last minute. But
there you go.
Okay, you're not going to offer. Yeah, she's
that offer is not going to this lady. It is not.
I tell you what, though.
I feel like she should pay me.
I'd offer her 1,500 rand to just please get off the screen. Take her away. Take her away. Please take her away. Please.
There you
Thank
go.
You.
But
tell me about these responses that you've been getting.
So I kind of polled a couple of my the people in my life, right? And without fail, all of the women said it is absolutely disgusting. That woman is just there to do her job, and now this person is showing up with one. Like some of them said, even if you showed up with 10 million US dollars, they wouldn't have sex with just some random person, right? So it seems when it comes to
Leanne agrees here. Leanne Winans, she says, yes, it is disgusting to make the offer, Gareth.
There you go. Especially in the workplace, right? So from the looks of things, it seems women are a bit more moral than we are. Because to us, it's like, it's mechanical. Give me the 1.5, I'll do you, and then we'll keep it moving.
Well, I mean, here's a point being made by Bitcoin Boot. He says, how much do you think Vince McMahon offered his PA to take a cuck on her head? Is that a thing? Is that something?
I'm actually watching the documentary series about Vince McMahon. Shit is amazing. It'll blow your mind.
This shit is
amazing.
Is that an actual thing that happened?
It is.
Wow.
It is.
Holy hell. And then, of course, NWA says, forwarding your offer to Diddy. Gareth, that sexual ask, this is from Yonder, must come with a disclaimer. No Diddy, no cucking on, no invasive stuff, just plain and fun. Well, look, I don't think that people should be harassing each other at work. But if you have 1.5 million and you are so hard up that the hairdresser at work is your best option. And she could probably do with, I don't know any hairdressers that are making huge, huge amounts of money.
Yeah.
But I think that maybe when he made the offer, the guy was like, maybe she wants the money. It's a fair assumption to make. Now, if he embarrasses himself and says that and she goes, what's wrong with you, you disgusting pig? He's first of all going to be humiliated and embarrassed, which is appropriate.
Yeah.
Second of all, he's going to go like, wow, she turned down 1.5. She must be even more incredible than I thought she was.
Yeah.
So she wins on that front. Maybe the moral and ethical thing that you just brought up now, although I do think that morals and ethics can be hugely subjective.
True.
And this is, we're talking about it because it is a debatable subject. There's no definite way to deal with this. There's no way that, okay, well, here's the process we would follow. I mean, you can pretend that you would do the right thing if you were the hairdresser or if you were him.
Yeah.
That offered her. I don't know that everybody would do the same thing.
I don't think so either. And it honestly comes down to what you're willing to live with, right? Like if you're the guy with the money, if the only way you can get laid is for you to pay women, if that's something you're willing to live with, then you'll be okay. If you're a woman who is okay with being paid for sex, I guess that's something you'll have to
Well, Sharon says, and she's right, men think differently about sex than women. And that's
without
true.
A shadow of a
that's
doubt.
That's definitely true.
Which is why the whole LGBTQ plus stuff pisses me off, because they claim there's no difference between men and women.
Don't use my show now as a platform to the LGBTQ community.
I'm not rubbishing
community.
Them. I'm just
All
saying.
Right, I will not stand for this. All right, let's get to a really funny story. There are two things that Trump's not even president yet. He's causing such shit, and I love it. So he apparently was doing a press conference yesterday, and he said, we're going to rename the Gulf of Mexico to the Gulf of America. Did you hear this?
No, I did not.
So the Gulf of Mexico, which is, it's mostly Mexico.
Yeah.
But he says, we're not going to let it be called that anymore. We're changing it to the Gulf of America. And people are losing their minds about, like, this is just funny. Okay. And I think he's trolling. But even if he's, but even if he's being serious, it's great. Gulf of America. And then he jokingly said a while ago, he said two things. He said, first of all, we should just make Canada the 51st state.
It's not a bad idea.
And Canadians went ballistic. Well, some Canadians, some were like, yay, let's do it. He's now also going at Denmark. You know, Denmark owned Greenland. If you look at a map of the world, Greenland is a fairly large island. Of course, it's in the far northern frozen reaches, so nobody really goes. It's not very green either.
Yeah.
It's not very useful either. There's, as far as I can tell, there's not a huge amount going on in Greenland. But Trump jokingly said, well, we may want to take Greenland. And apparently, I don't know, again, if this is just trolling, because who knows what's real anymore.
Yeah.
That's also, you can either get upset about it and go like, damn it, we need fact checkers and we need journalists to check this out for us. We can't trust the journalists and fact
anymore,
checkers.
Yeah.
We can't trust the medical experts.
We have to fact check the fact checkers.
Yeah, I mean, on Monday's show, we were talking about how the Surgeon General of the United States, look there, Gulf of America. we were talking on Monday's show about the Surgeon General.
Yeah.
He said that any amount of alcohol is very bad for you, could lead to cancer. It's the third biggest preventable cause of cancer.
He said any amount.
Yeah, but this is exactly against what they've been telling you about, like one glass of red wine a day is very good for you.
Mm.
I just don't believe any of these guys anymore. You know, everything post 2020 with COVID, I just don't trust any of you guys. I don't believe you. And, you know, I'll take my chances. It means that I do know some doctors who I'm likelier to trust than the U.S. Surgeon General.
Definitely.
But I'm not going to change my life based on his recommendations. And especially when you find out that one of the reasons they want to do it is because they want to put the kinds of warnings that they have on cigarette packets on alcohol. Now, don't do that. Don't do that. Don't fall for this. I don't believe you're a smoker. I don't believe that the picture on the tobacco packets changes everything or anything about your behavior.
No.
Nothing. You don't give a shit. Yeah. I don't give a shit as a non-smoker. So who does it help? Who's this meant to help? Remember Nkosasana Dlamini Zuma, who, by the way, I still think should be dragged out of wherever she is by her feet for all the things she did under coronavirus.
Yes, when people saw.
Because now we know. Yeah, you remember. Yeah,
I remember.
They put saliva on the paper. Remember her. They got to find, like, she's not just going to, because she resigned now. She's like, I don't know, she's probably living somewhere, putting her feet up, chilling. It's not over yet, honey. We still got some scores to settle.
Yeah.
And I don't trust these experts is the point. So I
in
saw
fact,
this
these
thing.
Days, when I hear the term expert, I turn the opposite direction. It's like that yeah. word has been devalued. Yeah, it's like genius.
It's like a university degree.
Yeah. It's right. Yeah. Thank you.
Not very worthful. Goodbye. Not worth very much.
Goodbye.
So apparently Donald Trump Jr. landed in Greenland mm-hmm. to go and talk to the governor of Greenland, who's a Danish official, obviously.
Right.
And they might just like take Greenland away from Denmark and it might become part of the United States. Like, this is so great. So within a space of not even taking over yet, but 10, 15 days before he's president.
Right.
He may have taken the Gulf of Mexico back and made it the Gulf of America.
Okay. Yeah.
He may take Canada and make it the 51st state. Oof. And he may make Greenland the 52nd state. I mean, this would be the biggest land grab since the Louisiana Purchase.
Yeah.
Without a Thomas Jefferson.
Yeah. Without a single bullet being shot.
Yeah. I mean, very exciting for America. What a
that
time.
That's so cool.
6 months ago, I would have said to you, if you're American, you're probably weighing up your options and looking at other countries to go to. Right now, I think Americans are feeling pretty good about themselves.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Stay right where you are. Unless your name is Rachel Maddow.
What's
she must
happened
be
to
losing
her
mind.
Oh, she but she hasn't lost her job or anything.
No,
she's still
she
on
hasn't.
MSNBC.
It's ridiculous. And come to think of it.
What,
like,
you want her fired?
Yeah, let her go. How is she allowed to spew all of that nonsense on a daily basis and then people walk away thinking that she's sane? She's not.
She's not. Because she's got a boy's haircut. That's why.
Okay.
That's all.
Yeah, no, shave it. Remove it.
Shave it. Would you want her bald?
Remove it. Yeah.
Oh.
See, if she's bald, then when you watch the TV screen, you'd understand that, no, this person's just insane. It'll be easier.
But her behavior
she'll be a bit
gives,
more palatable for people.
But her behavior gives that away anyway. You know she's insane.
Ugh. Like, I wish there was like a trash can that we could throw, you know, people like Rachel Maddow, all the women on
can.
The View,
but
all of that nonsense.
Let me
just,
help you.
Wow,
let me help you. It's in your devices and in your head. I don't follow them.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know what Rachel Maddow is saying at the moment. I'm not even that interested. I was interested when the elections were on because I wanted to see her have a complete shit fit and meltdown when it didn't go the way she wanted it to. But that's just because I'm a horrible person.
Okay.
Now I'm over it. Now I don't really care what she does. And those harridans, those harpies on The View, I don't care what they say. I just laugh at the memes that come out of it. Mm. I mean, Whoopi Goldberg, are you going to take someone seriously who went from being one of the best comedians in America,
yep,
one of the most successful actresses? I mean, she was a full-on Oscar-winning actress of repute and renown.
A person of substance.
She was friends with like Robin Williams and Billy Crystal. She hosted the Oscars. I mean, there could not have been a greater story of climbing to the top than mm-hmm. Whoopi Goldberg. You know, mm-hmm. she did amazing movies. She was funny as hell. Everybody loved her. And now she's sitting there with these other housefraus every fucking day and she's yakking on and it's like a sisterhood of the traveling pants or whatever they call it. It's just so depressing.
Yeah.
And she's ballooned to like 8 times the size and she just looks angry and grumpy and like, what's wrong with you? You used to be funny. You've got lots of money. What do you want?
You're part of Sarafina.
Yeah, come on. Like Whoopi.
Come on.
I mean, even your name is named after the cushion that makes a fart noise. Like, we want you back. Come back to us. Be
Return.
A fun, be a happy person again. Stop being such a goodness. Miserable, concrete-filled, angry. It's those women she's hanging around with. I'm
it
telling
has to
you.
Be.
It's
it
that,
has to
it's
be.
That terrible joy Behar and...
And that Sunny woman. Oh, what's her name?
The most terrible people. Just get away from them, Whoopi, and regrow.
Yeah.
Regrow like a vestigial organ that comes back. Regrow your sense of humor.
Yeah.
That would be so nice. Anyway, don't let it upset you, Jack.
I'll try. Woosa. Woosa.
So, okay. I got something to show you.
Let's go.
Is funny. This is a they them that is going to do a skateboarding trick for us.
Okay.
And I want you to pay special attention to the comments. So if you're only listening to us and you're not watching us, this may be worth going back and checking out when you are not driving a car or getting ready for work this morning or whatever else, because it is pretty amusing. And I mean, I've gone to the trouble of finding it on the internet and cutting it and editing it for you. And you know, we go to a lot of trouble here. So watch the fucking show.
Let's see it.
Let them see. Oh. You see the trouble. Damn, right in the vipedis. I'm not gonna play the whole thing, but it's hilarious. There's so much good stuff. I've been laughing. I haven't enjoyed social media as much as I have in the last 6 months.
Yeah.
It seems like we're allowed to laugh at things again.
Yeah.
And you're allowed to comment on things again. It's just great. Congo Chris makes a point about your story with Sky Sports
or Fox Sports. News, yeah.
Congo Chris says you can't pay them directly because they don't like to be obvious machoshas. But they'll still chase the rich guys.
Oh, okay. So you basically leave it at the bedside table and just keep it moving.
And Bitcoin Boot says Vince actually cucked in his PA's head. Then his friend nailed her with the cuck on her head and Vince was watching. There's no amount of money I'd take for that. That's appalling. I mean,
crazy.
You know, again, I'm so pleased. I don't have one of those filthy, dirty fetishes.
Mm.
I'm so pleased. And I honestly, like, I'm grateful all the time. I used to think I was quite interesting. I'm not. There are people who have very weird fucking shit going on.
But you know what literally I think it is? I think it's the more money and notoriety you get, people are a lot more willing to let you do certain things, right? Like, for argument's sake, a broke guy can't put together an orgy. You know what I mean?
They couldn't do a P. Diddy party.
No.
What they call a freak-off.
Yeah, you can't throw... If you've got like 5,000 rand in your account, you're not throwing a freak off. But if you've got a, you know, mansion, you've got tons of cash and you invite just beautiful people, something might just happen.
I bet you didn't watch the Golden Globes, but we've got a guest coming to join us in about 15 minutes who I want to ask her about what she thought of the Golden Globes, if either of you saw them. But there were some funny things that were said by Nikki Glaser about exactly this topic. Yeah. Which is fascinating.
She's hilarious.
Yeah. Apparently, there are only 50,000 people in Greenland, hey? That's according to Patrick. There are more people in George.
Oh, wow.
Than there are in Greenland. So it's not packed full of people. I think those 50,000 people should be able to decide which country they want to be a part of.
Yeah, I think so.
Right?
Yeah.
Even if the Vikings discovered it in like 1100.
Yeah.
I don't think that means you have to be stuck with the Vikings and their descendants as your bosses, your administrators. Greenland is great for research. It may be a thank you gift to Elon Musk. They should just give him – I tell you what. If Elon said he'd be president, there are a lot of countries that would put up their hands.
Yeah.
And he can't ever be president of the United States because he was born here. He could be president of this place, but I don't think he cares.
Oh, nah.
He wants to take over the world. Pinky in the brain, says Nikki. Okay. Like Donald Trump. I do believe he's got the biggest ego, but I kind of think he deserves it. I'm telling you, in 100 years, people will go, oh, I wonder what it would have been like to live in the time of Trump. You know how I try to think about what it would have been like to be around when Napoleon or Julius Caesar or Ramesses II or Alexander the Great were around, because they were such dominant figures in their time. Mm. And people will think of him that way. All the stuff that, all the bad stuff we've heard about him, oh, you know, he's a misogynist, or he's anti-immigration and all this stuff. All of that will disappear in 100 years. No one will care. And they'll look at this guy and they'll go, wow, this dude, sure, he inherited some cash from his dad, but he became a billionaire, became a celebrity, became a president, lost the next one, came back again, and did whatever he may or may not do in the next term. That's a story. I don't know what your story is. Maybe you've developed a boner pill or something. Great. But I don't think your story's quite as good as that. That's like the hero's journey.
Do you know
whether you like the guy or not, right?
I feel like we're 3/4 into the story.
And he's trying to kill him.
Yeah, I know.
Right?
The thing is, like, how this second term plays out will determine, in my book at least, whether or not he's remembered the way you're talking about by history, or if he's remembered as
a villain,
something completely different. Yeah. Right? Because honestly, you can't write a better story.
Right.
You know? I mean, he's been on different sides of divisive issues from the moment basically he was born. Right? I mean, there was that whole Central Park Five thing when he was calling for the death penalty, but one could make the argument
which, by the way, when it was happening, no one was commenting on it. It was dug up afterwards when he decided to run for office.
That's what I'm saying. Like, I mean, in fact, who's to say that that was wrong to say at the time? Like, can you imagine if you found out someone got gang raped somewhere, you'd also call for the death penalty.
I've got bad news. If you ever run for office, they'll find this show and you'll be canceled.
You're like, yeah.
I'm going to get you. But I think, I do think that stuff's all coming to an end.
That's what I'm saying. Like, depending on how he finishes off his second term, we'll know if this is the villain story or the hero story. So far, it's a fantastic hero arc. We'll see how it wraps up.
There are lots of people commenting on that video that we just showed you. Camel Toe Knee Hawk, which is hilarious.
Right in the transmission.
Greenland is a better launch pad for war with Russia and China. I listened to, and I have to give props to Lex Friedman for his interview with Volodymyr Zelensky. They did it in 3 languages, but if you listen to his usual podcast, you'll get it all in English.
Okay.
But
was Zelensky in drag, or was he?
No, he wasn't wearing drag.
Oh, okay.
No. And he was quite good. I mean, I still think that there's a lot of, I understand it a bit better now because I've heard the man talk. Mm. I've heard him answer questions, and he's a competent communications guy.
Okay.
He's very good at pleading the case for Ukraine, and I'm by no means convinced that I can take a strong position on any part of this Russia-Ukraine war, which is why it doesn't come up on this show very often. I don't know enough. I really don't. And I don't love Vladimir Putin. There's something cold and calculating and not particularly palatable about him. He has been in power since South Africa was a democracy, basically.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know that I trust Zelensky either. I do think that the great sadness of all of this is that some hundreds of thousands of healthy, potentially, happy people in Ukraine have been killed.
Mm-hmm.
And I just think that that's very, very sad. But I listened to Lex Friedman interviewing Zelensky, and I feel like I'm a little bit more well-informed now than I was then. And it seems a lot hinges again on what Trump does with his role as a mediator here.
Yeah.
Because he does have a lot more sway and power than Joe Biden could ever have dreamed of. And it may just be the silver bullet to bring him into the room and say, guys, sort your shit out.
Yeah.
And who knows? I mean, I would like less people to just be mercilessly shooting each other and rocketing each other and droning each other into oblivion. And wouldn't anybody?
Yeah.
But definitely. I think what was amazing is that there's that Lex Fridman, who speaks Russian, not Ukrainian, there is a difference, and English, and Zelensky, who speaks Ukrainian and Russian and a little bit of English, but didn't want to speak Russian in the interview. He was like, no, it's important that I don't just cede that territory. We've got our own language. We're a distinct country. You can see what's going on.
Yeah, you see, when it comes to this whole Russia-Ukraine thing, like, my mind goes all the way back to 1990 when the Soviet Union finally came to an end. Part of...
89 when the wall came down, right?
Yeah. But part of the agreement was where NATO was allowed to operate and whether they could encroach any closer to Russia and all of that stuff.
Sure.
And over that many years, like, they've consistently encroached closer and closer to Russia.
Well, I mean, there was a point, and it feels like ancient history now, but there was a point not so long ago where even Vladimir Putin was saying, we'll join NATO.
Yeah.
And look how badly things have been managed.
Yeah, I mean,
I think it's been very badly managed by all the parties concerned, right?
For sure.
I mean, Zelensky is president of one of the most corrupt countries in the world. The former president was not a clean guy at all. There are questions about whether he is or he isn't. And even in the interview, he dodges a couple of questions there. Putin has become more and more aggressive.
Yeah.
But NATO and the West have been poking the bear.
They have.
Almost nonstop.
Yeah.
Especially during the term of Barack Obama and the term of Joe Biden.
Mm.
You know, we were getting closer. I remember when Putin visited George W. Bush at his ranch, you know, and people were saying, oh, this is scary. It's less scary than what we've got now.
Yeah.
So it's been managed badly by a bunch of real fucking idiots and amateurs.
It has. And so, it's so unfortunate that presidents aren't held to the same standard as everyone else, because I would imagine if there was some sort of a peer review system, or at least some sort of checks and balances when it comes to the wrongdoings of countries' leaders.
Right.
Then perhaps we might, you know, we might deter some ill-informed decisions moving forward. But seemingly that's not going to be a reality. And besides, like, organizations like the ICJ and all of this stuff, they hand out so-called arrest warrants and whatnot, enforce them or are incapable of enforcing them.
So I don't know why we as a really a small fry country in the world have to go and embarrass ourselves at the ICC, at the ICJ.
Those kind of things, man.
It's like ridiculous. What are you trying to do? And you can tell it's because there's some Iranian money floating around.
Yeah. It's
probably this... through Gift of the Givers, but I'm not saying. So here, Jack, there are actually two podcasts with Lex Fridman that he's done at Soviet historians. The war is going back over 100 years, early World War I times. That's why Russia invaded Ukraine. That's from Yonder.
Oh, wow.
So maybe worth checking that out. Lex is very, very slow, and he talks like this, and he's got very little sense of humor. But I think he's a good guy. I mean, like, I get the feeling he's just a thoroughly good, decent guy. And he wants, like, it's almost childish the way he's like, well, we're going to end the war. I want to end the war. And I'm like, you're a podcaster. Calm down. but he's a good guy. I think he means well. Anyway, before we get to 7 o'clock, I wanted to introduce you to a new German word. Pop that on the screen, guys. Here's a nice new German word, because you're being very aggressive and ornery this morning. Kampfswerk. Kampfswerk. Say it.
Kampfswerk.
It's a combat dwarf. That's you this morning. A small person who always has aggression problems. So I think you should get a name badge made, Jack McClendon.
Kampfswerk. I must put that on a t-shirt.
Kampfswerk.
I need to put that on a t-shirt, actually.
Yeah, I think that would be funny.
Combat dwarf. Oh, my goodness.
That's what I love about German. Well, certainly the old German, because I don't think Germans use words like that anymore. It's very politically incorrect, and we can't, God forbid, we should ever be interesting.
Oh, my word.
you know. So Kampfsberg.
Kampfsberg. Like I need to put that on a t-shirt and just cause shit no matter where I go. Just oh my goodness. In fact, in high school,
did they call friends, you Kampfsberg?
No. They told me about have you ever heard of SMS, short man syndrome?
Oh yeah, of course.
Yeah. So that's Kampfsberg.
Well,
sort of.
I this is more aggressive. I think Kampfsberg is very good.
Such a cool word.
People need to know.
Kampfsberg.
So here's some interesting things. Backpfeifengeschicht is one of my faves, says Tracy Bard, a person in desperate need of a puss club. Backpfeifengeschicht is someone who has a face that you just want to slap.
Oh, my word. Say you that know, word again. I can't even.
Backpfeifengeschicht.
Oof.
That's a good word. Have you never heard that before?
No.
Also, a great one to use. I can't believe I just remember the use. But it is. It's like the people who, you know, when you see someone, you're like, that person needs a clap.
Yeah. That's just that word. Gorlok.
Okay, so this is funny. There's Gorlok. Gorlok the Destroyer, who's always making appearances on this show. I had a drunken night that was like a party, but we were just sitting around drinking with some friends, and we played that Would You Rather game.
Oh,
you
know, yeah.
Like drink the rubbish bin juice or electrocute your testicles for like 5 minutes.
Right.
And it was so funny. The minute Gorlok was introduced into the conversation, then everything became about Gorlok.
Would you?
Either you have to sleep with Gorlok or. And it was always like, oh, Gorlok is so horrific. Just put the picture up again. Ugh. I want to interview Gorlok. Can we try and do that? Yeah, please, producers, get onto that.
I do not want to be here that happens.
Come on.
I seriously don't know if I could hold my tongue. Seriously.
Every time I've ever seen Gorlok on a show, there's been massive like hilarity ensuing. I think it would be fun. Really.
I think it would be lots of fun
to have Gorlok on. The best is Masapus, says Ricky. Are you looking at your watch? You have somewhere to be?
No.
Oh, you see, Jack just goes.
No, so I'm not allowed to look at my watch?
No, well, I mean, am I keeping you from something hugely important?
Come on, we're working over here. I'm working over here.
Fartskanone is a fart cannon, a person who's always farting. So if someone is constantly farting, you can call him Fartskanone.
Oh, yes.
I love that. A Schweinsteiger is a pig climber. Schweinsteiger. Okay. There was a
what does Schwarzenegger mean? Like Arnold.
What do you think? Schwarz?
Yeah, black.
Neger? What do you think?
Neger.
Right.
Sjogniga.
There we go. And somehow he became a big star in the United States.
Yeah, somebody was the governor of California.
Get oh my god. Donau Dump Schifffahrtsgesellschaftskapitan. What is that? Okay, so Donau is the Danube River. Dump Schifffahrt. Okay, it's like a boat. Gesellschaftskapitan. So you're the captain of a small boat on the Danube River. How wrong am I? Take that word, guys, and pop it into Google Translate and see how wrong I am. All right.
Wow.
If I get this right, I'm taking off the rest of the year. Okay.
Oi.
Here we go. Sharon's got one. If she offered you $1 million, that's Gorlok, would you sleep with her? No. No.
I would? I need a raise.
Yeah. It's not
Take
enough,
it
right?
It's not enough.
Gorlok, it's not enough.
It's not enough. I'm going to have to live with that memory? What?
You buy a lot of therapy for $1 million.
No, I'll need more than $1 million.
What is $1 million now? It's like, what, 20 Rand, 23 Rand, 23 million Rand?
Should be, yeah. Somewhere there, yeah. Yeah.
That's it's not enough, I'm afraid.
Oh, it's not. No.
I would also be glancing at my watch if I had a nice one like that, says Cokes. Is that a Christmas present or something?
No. It was a present to myself, yes.
Oh, very good.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So Donau Dampfschifffahrtsgesellschaftskapitan. Am I right? What do we got?
Okay.
Do you want me to do it myself? Russian. Russia, the bots. They're everywhere, the bots. You got to watch out for the birds.
Give me the money or else I make
Gorlock is actually a man, says Bitcoin. Yeah, we know. That's part of the part of the, you know. Playing this game with you would be boring, Bitcoin Boots.
Yeah.
You'd be like correcting everybody all the time. It's actually a man. Well, that's the point. That's why it's horrible. That's why you there wouldn't want to do it.
Yes, the DDSG was a shipping company. Oh, it was a shipping company, Gareth.
Okay. But it says Capitan at the end, which made me think.
Literally, first Denaube Stream Boat Shipping Company. There you
okay.
go. That's what it means. So you weren't far off, actually.
Okay. I'll take a half point on that one then.
Yeah.
Okay.
That was great.
I'm happy with that. Right, let's take a break. It's just after 7. We'll come back with none other than she makes a triumphant return to this show.
Uh-huh.
Nina Hasty. Yep.
Let's go.
Exciting time. Stick around for that and a whole lot more.